You're listening to the Daily, Daily Caller podcast on iTunes and thedailycaller.com. Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Daily, Daily Caller podcast. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your Mr. Rourke for the next 20 to 30 minutes or however long I happen to go. You can find me on Twitter at Derek A. Hunter. Please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, rate and review it on iTunes. I'd appreciate that. And tell your friends, because that's the only advertising we have. Lots of stuff to get to today. What a day. What a set of 24 hours. Seems like every single set of 24 hours, there's some new ridiculous story coming out. And today is no different. I want to start off talking about someone and something that I don't talk about, I don't patronize, I don't use, but that doesn't mean I am not a fan of the concept of free choice and free speech. Alex Jones. I am not an Alex Jones listener. I don't think I've ever actually listened to Alex Jones. I've seen clips on social media here and there where he's saying something particularly offensive or nutty. But I do what most sane, rational, adult human beings do. I turn it off. I just go away from it. It's pretty simple. There are 10 trillion options out there for anybody and everybody. If you don't like what you're watching, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, turn it off. Change the channel. Or just hit stop and think for a second, or maybe read, do something crazy like that. But that's not the game the left plays anymore. Yesterday, Alex Jones and his InfoWars, which is, again, a website I don't patronize. If I see a link is to InfoWars, since I don't care for what Alex Jones says and I don't want to support him, I don't click on it. I just wrote a book. That's out now. You should buy several copies of it. And doing research for the book, I came across a bunch of things that were up on InfoWars. And if I couldn't find that information someplace else, I didn't use it. Most of the time, I don't think I ever used it, actually. But I just don't want to be a part of it because of some of the things he said. He's perfectly free to exist. I don't want to shut him down. I think of him in the same way I think of other websites I don't like and news organizations I don't believe or trust, like Huffington Post. I think Huffington Post is disgusting. There are activists masquerading as journalists. CNN, for the large part, is too, but I don't want to shut any of them down. Weirdly, because CNN campaigned and crusaded to shut down InfoWars. Well, InfoWars was not shut down yesterday, but it was kicked off of a whole bunch of tech companies' platforms. Apple, their app, gone. Facebook, YouTube, Spotify. They not only stopped all future content created by Alex Jones and InfoWars, they deleted all past content. The left loves wiping out the past. They love pretending that things that happened didn't happen, mostly because if you know the history of the Democratic Party and the progressive movement, you know how horrible those things are. And the left wants to pretend that none of it happened because it's inconvenient for them. Well, these companies are free to do this. They own the platforms. But it's problematic. It's, first of all, a hell of a coincidence that on one day, these four companies, these major companies, all came to the same conclusion. Does anybody believe that's a coincidence? I don't want to get all Alex Jonesy and conspiracy theory on you here, but that strikes me as a little bit less than believable. What's dangerous, though, is the banning of Alex Jones. Alex Jones wasn't calling for anybody's murder. Alex Jones was saying offensive things. He was spreading conspiracies. He was saying stupid things in some cases, like the Sandy Hook massacre didn't happen, things like that. But you're free to say that in the United States of America. These tech companies, yes, it's horribly offensive. But these tech companies deciding what's offensive, what's crazy, what's beyond the pale, or as they put it, possibly inciting violence. Well, anything can be determined, especially by a leftist, to possibly inciting violence. to being hate speech. That was another term that they used. Hate speech. Alex Jones is a lot of things. I don't think Alex Jones is a racist. I haven't heard anybody accuse Alex Jones of being a racist, except maybe during the Obama administration when everybody was accused of being a racist. But it's hate speech because the left doesn't like it. And that's enough for the left. If they don't like something, it is hate speech. For these major companies to deplatform Alex Jones, you may be thinking, and you know, I wouldn't blame you if you didn't really think about this. But maybe you think, well, good. The guy's a kook. He makes everybody look bad. He's constantly referred to as a conservative by the liberal media, even though he's in no way, shape, or form a conservative. But if you think, you know what? He's a nut job. Screw him. Who cares? Moving on. He got what he deserved. Yeah, okay. But what happens when they redefine crazy? Because I think Alex Jones is a little crazy, to be perfectly honest with you. What I know about him, he says a lot of weird, crazy things. But so what? We're allowed to say weird and crazy things. Are you okay with a bunch of liberal companies deciding what constitutes too crazy to be acceptable? Especially simultaneously on the same day, suddenly he's deplatformed from all of these websites? Are you okay with that? Because once you purge the Alex Joneses of the world, then what becomes crazy? There always has to be a crazy. Crazy is always going to exist. It's just a matter of what constitutes crazy is the problem. Once Alex Jones is gone, and then am I determined to be crazy? Or is somebody like Dan Bongino, who rails against the Russian hoax, is he determined to be crazy? And then is he deplatformed next? Where does it stop? This is the slippery slope argument. I don't like, look, if you're going to put a company out there and you're essentially going to be a kiosk where anybody can post anything. You can post your vacation pictures. You can post pictures of your pets, your children, your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which far too many people do constantly. Whatever you want to post, if you want to post it, here's your outlet. Come here, and we just want to connect the whole world. Then you start to say, well, no, we don't want to connect the whole world. We want some people to not connect with anybody. A company deciding that, and then especially a liberal company who already has a penchant for totalitarianism, because that's where the left lives, begins to get a little dangerous. You can be a kiosk, but once you decide that you're going to determine what is and is not acceptable on your website, you're suddenly becoming a publisher. And again, then these websites, I talked about this on an earlier show, like a week or two ago. Once you start determining what is and isn't acceptable on your, and who is and isn't acceptable, and concept-wise, not threats to somebody, actual threats, but vagaries that are determined to be hate speech. Once you start determining that and deleting that, it's your right to do it. You own the website, you own the kiosk, but you're no longer a kiosk. You're becoming a publisher. Then you're opening yourself up to massive lawsuits, massive legal actions. You open yourself up to liable claims. Because if you become, rather than the facilitator for communication, but the determiner of what is and isn't acceptable communication, if somebody posts revenge porn, for example, on Facebook, and it doesn't get caught by your filters or it doesn't get caught by your censors, it's out there. Suddenly you become liable for that because you let it go. You've stopped other content you've determined to be awful, but this got through. Now you're responsible for that. And you're going to have some pretty damn deep pockets to be able to deal with the ramifications of that. Again, I have no problem with Alex Jones existing. I have no problem with people who want to listen to Alex Jones or read InfoWars. It's not my cup of meat. It's not for me. But I, as a conservative, don't want to tell you what you can and cannot see on the internet. It is legal content. Knock yourself out. If you want to go down that rabbit hole, go ahead. I'm not coming with you. But when it comes to the concept of free speech, and this really isn't a First Amendment issue, this is not the government stepping in. We'll get into the government in a second because the government is ridiculously stupid on this issue, especially liberal government. But, you know, this isn't a First Amendment issue. These companies have the right to do this. And they can kick you and me and everybody else off of their websites anytime they want. It'd be a horrible business model. But we're not dealing with a whole bunch of companies that have particularly good business models to begin with. Some of these platforms never make any money. Not Apple. Apple makes a ton of money. Facebook is making money now, but they keep screwing up and keep losing stock value. But some of these smaller social media websites, they have no idea how to make money. So they're just worried about controlling content because they're in the throes of high valuations and disposable cash on hand and run by left-wingers in a left-wing industry in a left-wing area of the country. So they just keep devaluing themselves. They keep screwing up. But this again, this isn't a First Amendment issue. I was getting sidetracked there. But it's a dumb business strategy. And it sets a horrible precedent because once they start deplatforming someone, there's no guarantee they're going to stop there. An angry liberal mob is very easy to get riled up. It's nearly impossible to stop or direct or slow down. So, yeah, they're coming after Alex Jones now. Not for me, maybe not for you, maybe it is for you. But sooner or later, they will get to something that is for you, something that you do like. And then what are you going to do? That's a serious, important question to ask yourself. These sorts of fascistic movements always start with fairly innocuous. They start with unpopular. They start with somebody we all agree, look, Alex Jones is kind of a nut. If that he's off of Facebook is no big deal. Well, presumably, he made a ton of money off of Facebook. Presumably, he made a ton of money off of his YouTube videos. They were wildly popular. They have revenue sharing on these websites. You can make a lot of money if you have a lot of followers, and Alex Jones has a lot of followers. This is going to significantly damage him and possibly put him out of business. And his crime was saying offensive things that liberals didn't like and conservatives didn't like. And in many ways, it makes him the perfect target to be the first one to really be hammered with this crap. Because he's not popular on the left. He's not popular on the right, at least in the existing power structures on either side. So they can all kind of just look the other way and pretend it's not a big deal. But it is a big deal. Because eventually they may come for something that you like, or they may come for you. So just keep in mind, Apple, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, all miraculously decided spontaneously on the same day who is acceptable and what is acceptable on their website, and that Alex Jones is a speaker of hate speech without clearly defining it, which means that they can redefine it. It's a ball of clay. They can mold it to fit you. Now, if you at all care about the concept of freedom of speech, not again in the First Amendment terms, but the concept of freedom of speech, this should bother you. And now we bring in the First Amendment. Chris Murphy, senator from Connecticut, not particularly bright. He's kind of a dim bulb, but what do you expect out of Connecticut? He took to his Twitter account yesterday at 4:26 p.m. to tweet one of the dumbest and most dangerous things any politician could ever tweet. Listen to this. Quote, InfoWars is the tip of a giant iceberg of hate and lies that uses sites like Facebook and YouTube to tear our nation apart. These companies must do more than take down one website. The survival of our democracy depends on it. Now, you remember all the panties being wadded up by the liberal media when the president of the United States says that the fake media is the enemy of the people? There was no outcry from the liberal media about a United States senator calling for essentially these companies to shut down speech any speech. It doesn't matter. The survival of our democracy somehow depends on whether or not these mega liberal companies start taking down speech that liberal Senator Chris Murphy determines to be unacceptable in a civil society? Hell no. Absolutely not. This is incredibly dangerous. This is the mindset of the left. You need to take down these websites. You must do more than take down one website because the survival of our democracy depends on it. No, Senator Asshat. The survival of our democracy depends on people being able to say whatever they want, no matter how unpopular it is, no matter how offensive it is. Offensive speech, unpopular speech, is the only speech that needs protecting. If all you did was say popular things all the time and everybody nodded along like, la-di-da, that's perfectly right, we agree, and cheered you every word you said, no one's coming after your speech. And the people who live in those bubbles, in those worlds, like up in Connecticut, Senator Chris Murphy, he lives in that world. I bet he doesn't hear a dissenting voice very often. He spends most of his time on MSNBC and CNN. You want to talk about fake news and lies and hate? Be a conservative and watch MSNBC and CNN. Chris Murphy, you dim bulb, what if Republicans had a full majority in the House and in the Senate, a supermajority, 60 votes in the United States Senate, or to hell with it, because I know Democrats will change the rules if they ever get power again. They change the filibuster rule. And your ideas become federal legislation. And then suddenly the other side gets in power, because that happens all the time. Are you content with your political opponents having the same ability and same power that you're calling for here? I bet you're not. You'd be an idiot, a bigger idiot than I think you already are. But of course, liberals never think that way. And of course, really, if liberals ever got absolute power, they would never, ever, ever let go of it. Now, I know you're thinking, well, Derek, this is one dim-witted, one point IQ bigger than his shoe size Democratic senator from the state of Connecticut. You don't really take Chris Murphy seriously. You pat him on the head and you give him a lollipop and send him on his way. No, this is the totalitarian streak on the left. This is their mindset. Let's go to reason. Now, apparently Axios had a memo that is being circulated amongst Democratic senators up on Capitol Hill. Their headline at Reason Magazine: Senate Democrats are circulating plans for government takeover of the internet. Isn't that lovely? Now you think, wait a second, that's ridiculous. Now this is entitled Potential, the memo being circulated that was leaked to Axios, is entitled Potential Policy Proposals for Regulation of Social Media and Technology Firms. It was allegedly written by Senator Mark Warner's office, and we don't know who leaked it, but it's incredibly dangerous. Here's what some, because they're all, oh, the Russians. The Russians are the burning of the Reichstag. The Russians are the scam that is being used to try and usurp our liberty. The Russians spent like $10,000 on a couple of memes that nobody saw, that made no difference in the election. But the Democrats and the media and their entire infrastructure together are working to try and scare the hell out of people and make them believe that there actually was something to this, that this must be stopped. And the paranoid leftists out there who can't accept that Donald Trump won the election are willing to cede that liberty to government. Here are some of the things that Senator Warner and his fellow traveler Democrats, because this is circulating amongst Democratic senators up on Capitol Hill right now, they're suggesting mandatory location verification. According to Reason, the paper suggests focusing social media platforms to authenticate and disclose the geographic origin of all user accounts or posts. Now, if you're in the home invasion or burglary business, this is just what you have been asking for. Now, I don't know about you, I turn off all location markers on all of my devices. I don't want anything. If I want somebody to know where I am, I will tell them. If I want to, you see, I see these people all the time on social media. It drives me nuts. Where there used to be some little app thing. I forget where the hell it was, where you checked in at different places. And I thought that was incredibly stupid. But you see on Facebook where their plane flight, there goes from, we're here in D.C., from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles. And they have the little dot across the country and the little plane thing. And like, I'm going to L.A. for the week. And I just think, well, I hope you have your stuff insured, because you just told the whole damn world that you're not going to be home for 7 days, which means at 3 o'clock in the morning, nobody's going to hear glass break. Nobody's going to hear somebody climb in your window and steal your stuff. It's incredibly stupid and dangerous. Thieves would live for this, but Democrats, because they love having control and power, they're proposing this. Now, social media, this should scare the living crap out of them, because this would be the death of it. I'm not alone in making sure that there is no indication of my location anytime I say anything online. If that became mandatory, thanks to government interference and regulation, I simply wouldn't use social media anymore. Next one, mandatory identification verification. The paper suggests forcing social media and tech platforms to authenticate user identities and only allow authentic accounts. Now, isn't that lovely? Now, I'm not a fan of anonymous trolls on Twitter. I don't engage in them. If you have like an egg avatar, occasionally I'll retweet with something snarky. Or if you have some random picture or a cartoon that isn't you and your name is like Trump sucks 2020, I'm not really going to engage with you on social media. If you aren't willing to put your name on something, I've got no time for you. I don't need you in my life. You're not really engaged. People usually make anonymous accounts because they're saying things that they don't want their name attached to for whatever reason. Could be their job, but mostly it's because they tweet racist crap or really offensive, stupid things, and they're happy to do it. I don't want to shut them down. I just don't engage with them. The government wants to shut them down. Now, there are people out there who, because of their job, can't put their name on certain things. They're just going to be SOL, according to the Democrats. So if you know anybody out there who enjoys anonymity, even in a civil way online, forget it. Game over. Democrats want to know not only who you are, but where you are at any given time. They also want to label tech as essential facilities. This would subject it to all sorts of heightened rules and controls, according to the paper. Now, isn't that lovely? They basically want to regulate these things as utilities. You're starting down a slippery slope. And this was really stupid on behalf of Mark Zuckerberg when he went up to Capitol Hill and gave his big testimony, where right before that, I think it was the week before that, he said, maybe we should be regulated. You never, ever invite the camel's nose of government under your tent. It never stops. Once you get government in, there is no getting government out. You might get some of government out occasionally if it's really doing serious damage, but then only maybe. But otherwise, the government essentially becomes your mafia don partner. Hey, nice business you got here. We're going to have a lot of fun running it together. But this is the mindset of the left. They want control. They will seize control. The burning of the Reichstag, 1933. Hitler elected chancellor, or appointed chancellor, whatever. He became chancellor. And I'm tired. And the Reichstag fire, the government headquarters, it burned. And suddenly it was an emergency. We didn't know who did this. They didn't know who was doing this. So they had emergency powers voted to the chancellor to protect, because you never knew if there were forces inside the country trying to overthrow the government. And they didn't get that power back until 1945. That's how dangerous it is. Liberals are very opportunistic. They see something and they jump on it. You see this with shootings. The second there is a tragedy involving some lunatic with a gun, they immediately blame the gun and they dust off their gun control legislation that they admit would have had no impact whatsoever on what that lunatic had just done. But they've been waiting for this like Christmas forever, for an opportunity to introduce this bill and try and get some momentum behind it and score political points. So off they go into the wild blue yonder before they even know the facts of the circumstances surrounding whatever horrible event they're exploiting. The left is doing the same thing with social media. They have very few tactics. They're just very good at using them. It's very, very manipulative. It's dangerous, too. So, yes, if you're willing to have the federal government mandate all sorts of things, including you eventually your behavior on social media, and drive companies that they deem to be undesirable out of business, by all means, this November, vote Democrat. Because that's exactly what you'll get. They're telling you this right now, so you can't really act surprised. Two last things before I let you go, really quickly, which Lord knows if I can shut my mouth, we'll see. Last night at the White House, this got way more press than it deserved, but because it's anti-Trump, it of course gets press. Rosie O'Donnell, who's still described as a comedian, although I think anybody would, you'd need Indiana Jones to dig through her past to try and find the last time she was funny. Rosie O'Donnell, comedian, led a group of Broadway performers in front of the White House, singing songs from Les Mis and a whole bunch of other crap musicals. Hair, I mean, come on, The Sound of Music. If you're into that, that's fine. But a whole bunch of Broadway performers to try and disrupt the president, to try and upset the president. Look, this is so stupid. This is for publicity. They're getting publicity. By the way, before I get to why it's ridiculous, I watched the video. I'm not going to subject you to any of the audio, so you're welcome for that. But I saw the video. The old joke in D.C. is that Washington, D.C. is Hollywood for ugly people. And it's kind of true. We're all kind of ugly in our own way. And the super good-looking people run off to Hollywood. But maybe Broadway is Hollywood for ugly people. Just going to throw that out. I watched the video. If you get a chance to watch the video, pan the crowd. Pan the choir. And I think you might agree with me. Maybe I'm being harsh. I don't care. But they sang a whole bunch of songs trying to protest the president of the United States. Now, for those of you who don't live in Washington, D.C., first of all, congratulations. You made the right life choice. The rest of us really screwed up. But we would have gotten a lot had we won the bet. But the White House is not anywhere close to the road. They're singing on the protest is on the Lafayette Park side. It is Pennsylvania Avenue, which has been closed off since the Clinton administration and the Oklahoma City bombing. They shut down the stretch of Pennsylvania Avenue there. You have to go around. It's inconvenient, but it's security. What are you going to do? The Secret Service determined that a long time ago, and they've never walked it back. Well, you're a football field away from the White House on that side. The other side of the White House, the mall side where you see the Lincoln or the Washington Monument, that's a lot further. That's like 4 or 5 football fields away. So this is about as close as you can get to the White House, but you're not really close to the White House. Even if you're singing at the tip top of your lungs, let me just give you a little bit of insight into the White House itself. It is not made of drywall and 2x4s. It is reinforced. The glass is not single-paned old-style latch that slides up and slides down and lets in the heat or the cold. It is bulletproof glass. You're not getting anything through that glass. You're not getting any, and you're not going to install bulletproof glass over drywall walls or in drywall walls. Those walls are reinforced as well. Sound isn't getting through there, even if it makes somehow miraculously the football field journey to the White House to be loud enough to be heard and made out. You might hear something, but you have no idea what the hell it is, and you can easily ignore it. It ain't getting in the building. But these Broadway stars, and I looked at the picture. I don't think any of these people are stars. I think they're Broadway performers. That's kind of how they're being reported as Broadway performers, because I think the stars on Broadway said, I'm not going to go down there. So, yeah, try and find the video and tell me I'm wrong. Email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. Let me know I'm wrong. And finally tonight, or today, it is, after all, Tuesday. The city of West Hollywood has passed a resolution to remove Donald Trump's star from the Hollywood Walk of Fame. This is according to Mayor John Duran on Twitter. Quote, West Hollywood City Council unanimously passed a resolution asking the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce to remove the Donald Trump star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now, they're not doing this, they claim, because Donald Trump is a Republican, or because it's particularly fashionable out in Hollywood to be an idiot leftist, which it is. They're saying that he, quote, it's for the abuse of women, minorities, immigrants, the disabled. You've crossed the line of decency, according to the mayor, which is asinine. You've crossed the line of decency. Anybody even casually familiar with the history of Hollywood and the disgusting filth sleaze bags that have run that city and been made stars in that city and that industry since the founding of the industry has to laugh hysterically. Now, it costs this city a lot of money to replace the star that one of their fellow travelers smashed up with a pickaxe. They don't want to pick up the tab for that anymore, and they just don't want to make it a crime, even though the guy's facing felony charges. But sitting unmolested, and I use that term purposefully, unmolested near Donald Trump's star, not being the subject of a resolution by the West Hollywood City Council, is the star of Kevin Spacey on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Kevin Spacey, of course, credibly accused. He didn't deny. He kind of just blamed alcohol and the fact that he had to out himself. He said he was a gay man when he was accused of trying to get it on with, what was he, a 14-year-old boy, 13-year-old boy, something like a very young, inappropriate, illegal, underage boy. Kevin Spacey was also fired from the House of Cards program, which he served as executive producer. So to fire the executive producer and star is, it lets you know how bad it was, because apparently, according to reports, he got a little too friendly and handsy and assertive with several members of the crew. Now, Kevin Spacey's star sits unmolested. Who else has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Oh, yes, that's right. Hey, hey, hey. It's Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby, who's going to spend the rest of his natural life in prison, eating pudding, I assume. His star remains also unmolested, undrugged. No quaaludes to that star. No nod, no condemnation from the West Hollywood City Council. Now, it's not the City Council's ultimate decision. It's the Chamber of Commerce. There's a whole bunch of crap you have to go through to get one of these stars, including somebody has to pay for it. There's a committee that has to approve it, so on and so forth. But this is just typical left. This is what I mean when talking about, you might not like Alex Jones, but eventually they will come for you. The left never stops coming. They are of a hive mind. They're a lot like a Terminator. They can't stop. They won't be reasoned with. They won't compromise. There is no middle ground. They want you destroyed. They will do all they can to destroy you. Even petty things like getting rid of Donald Trump's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. If they don't care about that, and they don't care about deplatforming, if CNN campaigned to get Alex Jones thrown off of Facebook, then why in the hell would they care about you? The truth is, they don't care about you. If you get in their way, they'll happily destroy you, like so many people who suddenly find themselves in the eye of a media storm, all because their lives torn apart simply because they posted something for their friends on social media, and one of their idiot friends shared it with one of these leftists, and it was a slow news day, and they decided to destroy that person. Don't take my word for it. Look up the name Justine Sacco. You'll see it can happen to anybody. They'll come after you. If you give them an inch, they'll take everything. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for rating and reviewing. You can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. I got to give you the heads up. You can stop emailing about the signed Dinesh D'Souza books. The drawing is technically going to be held today. It's not going to be revealed until Friday's show, the winners. But I'm sitting down with Greg Jarrett, author of the new bestseller, The Russia Hoax, today, Tuesday. He's going to draw the winners. So any entries after this point won't make it into the drawing. Just wait. I think I'm hopefully going to have some signed Greg Jarrett books. We'll find out on Friday's show, and you'll have another chance to win them. But otherwise, thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.